God. And I appreciate that, Sue. And I hope that you've been putting it on. All I can do is preach. All I can do is encourage. But it's up to you to be obedient and do what God has asked you to do. Last Sunday, we had a great congregational meeting. A lot of team ministries are doing a lot of great work for the Lord. And we certainly are grateful for all of that. So I want you to, again, picture this long three tables. And as you're beginning to walk down the table, there's this great, big, huge bowl of fruit. And in it is this sign. It says, please only help yourself to one of the fruit. And remember, God is watching. So you get down on the other end, and here's all the dessert. Banana cream pies, coconut cream pies, you know, cookies and brownies and all the goodies. And then there's this other sign that says, eat all you want, eat till you're full, eat until you're content. Don't worry about it. God's watching the fruit. I thought it was pretty good. How many of you are hungry spiritually? How many of you really like to be full, filled to the brim? I really want to be filled, but I want to be filled with God. I really hunger for thirsty for righteousness and God's presence in my life. I seek Him every day. And in our text this morning, Paul reminds us as Christians, because the question is don't you know, are you ignorant of, haven't you really come to the realization of the fact that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's a question. Don't you know that? Are you ignorant of that? Have you forgotten? Where in the world? He's reminding us this morning. For the temple of God is holy, which, and that is what you are. We are the temple of God. As you know, in the tabernacle as well as the temple, God put those dwellings together for Him to dwell in. And it just wasn't a little bit of Him. God filled the tabernacle with His presence, and He filled the temple with His presence. And God's desire is to fill me and to fill you with His presence. That is His desire. But it's up to you whether you allow that to happen or not. It's up to you whether or not you hunger for that in your individual lives. I can't create that hunger. This can. The Holy Spirit can. But you got to desire it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the same book, Paul reminds them again. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, which belongs to Him. In other words, when you became a Christian, you accepted the price that God paid for you, which is the blood of His Son, and you said, I surrender. The white flag is up. I'm yours completely. Go on. Paul said it this way in Romans 12, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, for this is your spiritual worship. Your spiritual worship is giving of yourself completely and totally to the God who gave His all for you through His Son on the cross. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God? Don't you understand that you've been bought with a price? You've heard this illustration, but I'll sell it to you again. This little boy had made a sailboat. All right? Took the sailboat down to a little pond. The wind came along, caught the sailboat, and went out into the middle, and he lost it. Couldn't get it. So a few days later, he's going by a pawn shop. He looks in the window, and here's his little sailboat. $1.50 on it. Well, he didn't have $1.50. He goes home, tells his dad, man, Daddy, I bought the sailboat. I made it. And so on. So Dad grabbed his hand, went down to the pawn shop, walked in, and the little boy begged the owner to give him the sailboat because it was his. I mean, after all, he made it. And the gentleman said, I'm sorry, I gave this other little boy $1.50 for it. If you want it, you got to pay the price. And so Dad pulled out $1.50, bought the boat for him. Little guy grabbed the boat, he looked at it, said, there, said, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. You understand what that is? You and I were created by God. Then we sinned. God then lovingly sent his son to pay the price on your behalf, my behalf. If you were here last Lord's Day, you heard the word propitiation. Propitiation is a gift that is given to remove anger and wrath from another person. You understand that God has appointed the day when the wrath of God is going to come against all ungodliness and God will judge? You have a choice whether or not you remain in that state or you put yourself under the blood of his son, and Christ then was willing to pay the price and become your propitiation, the gift offering to take away God's anger and wrath from you. Because there is no condemnation in Christ. None. Jesus took it all for you and me. You understand that? And by faith and obedience to his will, we have been placed in that position by God himself. God adds all that are saved to the kingdom or to the church. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 19 and 21, the Apostle Paul writes these words, and listen to them carefully or follow along. I would trust that maybe these sermons have stirred some stuff inside of you and you're getting the CDs and you're listening to them over and over again. It takes me hours to study this. And I guarantee you, you aren't going to leave here remembering what I'm sharing with you today. You know how much you remember through the process of listening? Huh? 10%. If I was to ask you when you leave this morning, well, what did I preach on this morning? What did I say? How many of you could remember verbatim exactly what I preached this morning? Probably not. So how do you think I've learned what I've learned? How have I memorized Scripture? How do I get God's mind and my mind together? We do have the mind of Christ, you know. But the only way I can have his mind is that I take it from this book, transfer it to my mind by reading, memorizing, and allowing the Holy Spirit to project and to write it and inscribe it upon my heart. Therefore, I can become a living epistle written by God to be read of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are a letter from God to the world that you and I live in today. And it's written by the Holy Spirit upon hearts, not on tables of stone. So when you and I think about this morning, this is what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19, 21. Listen, talking to the Gentiles, he says, you are no longer strangers and alien, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. The whole building being fitted. That means each and every one of you were placed into the temple of God. You were built up a part of this temple. Picture that in your mind if you can. And we're growing into this temple. Because God is still adding all that are being saved to this same temple. Has been since Pentecost. 3,000 were added on Pentecost. Later we have the number of 5,000. After that, multitudes. All of us, and from the day of Pentecost, from that time frame until Jesus comes, people are going to be added and placed and fitted by God into this holy temple that he can dwell in. Called the church. Called the body of Christ. So when you and I see this, he says, in whom... Verse 22, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So we're being built together into a building of God, the temple, that God dwells in. Okay? So what does that mean? Well, that means that every one of you are like a block in the temple. Each individual block being built up. Adding all of us together into this temple, God dwells in the inner aspect. Remember that Christ may dwell in the inner man. Through every one of you has and are a fitted part into the temple, and God himself dwells in you. Okay? Got it? Picture that? I mean, do you know that your body is the temple of God? Do you understand that? If you're a Christian today, you're in Christ. That means the Holy Spirit, by God, as a gift, has been placed and is dwelling in you. Okay? That's what the biblical text teaches us. Paul said in chapter 3, if you remember, if you were with us, this is how he placed it again in verse 14. He says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So here we have the very picture of, again, a dwelling, a temple, a house that God dwells in. And as he dwells in this house, his desire is to fill us with his presence, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Listen to that again. That we might be filled with the fullness of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, we find that the Bible says that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. The world cannot know this love. The only way you have come to know agape, the love of God, is that it was poured, granted to you, given to you through the Holy Spirit into the inner man. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. There's no way a person out there walking in the world can receive and become a recipient of the presence of God. He cannot do it. And let me tell you something. If you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you don't belong to Him. That's chapter 8 of Romans. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you do not belong to God. Period. That's a quote from President Obama. Period. Right? But God wants you to experience and to know the love of Christ. To know it means that you have a personal, intimate relationship with God's love. You know He loves you. You know that love, and that love becomes the empowering element of your inner man. You are controlled, rooted, and you are grounded in that love, and that love is what gets you through each day of your life. No matter what you have to face, no matter what you're going through, you know that God loves you, and you're grounded in it, rooted in it deeply, and it holds your life together. Okay? It surpasses knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries, and if I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. Doesn't matter how much you know. A lot of educated people, a lot of intellects, a lot of people that are high in knowledge. But, brother, if they don't have the love of God in them, it's going to profit them nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. So in verse 19, he says that you and I might be filled up to all the fullness of God. That we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. God's fullness is found only in Christ. Colossians 1:19 says, it was the Father, you listening? It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ. God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus is the only one that I know, according to the Scripture, that received the fullness of the Holy Spirit without measure. That's what God's Word said. John saw the Holy Spirit ascending upon him like a dove, right? And it was in that point in time that God's voice spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, right? And everything Jesus did was for our example, right? Jesus walked all the way to Jordan to be baptized of John, right? He came up out of the water, right? And it was then he received the Holy Spirit, right? Not before baptism, after it. Now, I don't know about you, but I take the Bible serious. I don't believe any man has a right to try to alter it or wrestle with it or try to change it. My Bible tells me very clearly, it was after Jesus' baptism that God gave him the Holy Spirit in his fullness, and it was after his baptism that God said, this is my beloved Son. Now think about it, okay? Now when you and I get that together in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says that in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That's Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Okay? Now, how many of you saw the body of Christ? How many of you have seen Jesus' body?
Shame on you. This is the body of Christ right here. You've seen it. God gave Jesus a body for 30-some years, and he dwelt in that body. For a period of some days, God's Son went back to heaven, and there was and set and established and installed as the Son of God, and placed there as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and as your great high priest. 50 days later, the Spirit of God was poured out on Pentecost. And if you read the Scriptures, you know it clear, that the deity, the fullness of God, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that means that when you received the Holy Spirit, you also received the Father. You also became a dwelling of Christ. That the deity, the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in you. That's why the Bible refers to over and over again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, Christ dwells in you, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Remember that? Your body is the temple of God. So that means the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead, all of that dwells in you. Is that exciting or isn't it? Huh? That think that that power that created the universe, that created man, gave Adam the breath of life, God Almighty, the one who is over all and in, he is in me. And he is in you. That's why Paul ended the third chapter of Ephesians by simply saying that he is able to do far more abundantly beyond what you even think or ask through the power that is at work in you. Get it? You're getting it. Okay? The point is that in him all this fullness of God dwells, and in him you have been made complete. I'm not against going psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever. I'm not going to belittle that aspect, but I'm telling you this. The only one that can make you mentally, spiritually, and physically whole is Jesus Christ. You are made whole in him. There's no man out there that can do only what God himself can do. If he created me, then God can put me back together and make me whole again and make me complete. So that my mind and my soul, my inner man, my physical body, everything is back into whole. I feel complete. I feel whole. I don't have to live on pills to get through life. You know how many people end up in hospital, but the doctors say they're not physically sick. They're called psychosomatic illnesses, worry, stress, fear, all those elements that wear on your body and end up making you sick. Why don't worry? I'm serious. I go to sleep at night. My Bible says, do not take thought for tomorrow. What does yours say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does your Bible say? There's nothing impossible with God. I don't care what it is. And you and I are his body. We're his temple. We're his household. He is at work in us. He is accomplishing his purpose in us. And it's the love of God, the love of Christ that you're rooted and grounded in. And that love is what holds you and makes you complete and fills you each and every day. You need to be filled with the love of God. Okay? Ephesians 1, 22, 23, he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body that dwells in bodily form. So when Jesus went back to heaven 50 days later on Pentecost, God began a work and creating his Son and giving to him another body, a spiritual body, a body in which he would dwell. So Jesus said to the disciples, when he, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come, if you read chapter 15 of the book of John, you will see him saying, I will come to you. So when the Holy Spirit came, Christ came. In the person of the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost. And so on Pentecost, God created and began an unbelievable mystery. A mystery unfolded to generations and hid for generations and generations and generations. But now has been unfolded to the church, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God gave him another body, made up of many different individual members, but there's only one body, one temple, one household, and all of you and I who have been indeed in Christ are a part of that unbelievable temple that God began to build, that body of Christ, the church that he gave to his son on Pentecost. And Christ is alive today. He's a living on the face of the earth today through the body of Christ. Because if you understand the biblical text correctly, you were to have died. You were to have been crucified with him. You don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in you. That's the problem in the church today. I believe a lot of people may have got wet, but they didn't really die. No sense in burying people if they haven't died, right? I believe if you haven't truly repented and truly indeed died to your own personal self and aspects of it, then, I mean, think about it. The reasonableness of this. The aspects of it. That we have to have died with Christ. We don't live, yes we do, but Christ lives in us. And that's what I read from Galatians chapter 2 last week. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I. It's who? It's what? It's Christ who lives in me. Man, I get excited about that. I really do. I can go out there and live in this world, face this world, because I'm not living and facing this world alone. I got God living right inside of me. Right? Huh? He never leaves me, nor does he ever forsake me, right? He's going with me wherever I go. I take him with me. I don't go alone. I know every aspect that he is with me and will continue to be with me. And I believe with all my heart that the fullness of the deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, dwells in bodily form in the body of Christ, the church. Has since Pentecost and will continue the process until Jesus comes. Okay? And we are his body. The church is the household of God. The church is the temple of God. Ephesians 4 says there is one body, one body. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. And verse 6 says there is one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Your body is the temple of God, which the Father and the Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in. The fullness of God. Fullness of God. Wow. I've known two women in my life. First one was my mother. Mom didn't become a Christian until the later years. I had the joy of immersing her into Christ and seeing her change. Before, she was a bitter, hard, unloving. I don't think she knew how to love. I don't think she was ever loved in her household, in her household. But I saw her change. And I saw God begin an unbelievable work in my mom's life. She became happy. She began to love my dad. And I saw my dad, because he changed. He became a Christian. I saw the love of God flowing in him. And I just saw an unbelievable radical change in my mom and dad. And every time I call mom, talk to her, I'm calling you today, mom. I know what she would be saying. If she could say it to me, she would say, Billy, I'm praying for you. Never said goodbye, but she said, Billy, I'm praying for you. I don't know about this great cloud of witnesses the Hebrew writer talks about, but I got to believe she's in the stands and she's cheering me on, telling me it's worth it. Fight the good fight of faith, son. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I don't know what kind and who you are as a mother, but the greatest gift that you can give to your children, to your grandchildren, is to let the love of God flow through you to your husband, to your children. You know, your wife is a blessing from God, and I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful wife. She's my second lady that I have known in my individual life. And over the years, I wouldn't be where I am if I hadn't been for Marilyn, for her loving me, in good and bad, and all the elements of her being as what she is and how it's affected me individually. But that's not where it all ends.
You see, I've lived with her for the 55 years of marriage, and I've seen her love my kids that she blessed me with. She loved them. She sacrificed for them. She gave of herself to those kids over and over and over again. And I saw that only because I knew that the love of Christ was in her, and it flowed from her to my children, and it's now flowing to my grandchildren. My grandkids, when they come, or whether they ever see Grandma, it's like, "Hi, Grandma! Hi, Grandma!" Hi! And they come a-running, and they hug her, and whatever. And Ava and Leah, you know, 3 and 2 years old, when they see Grandma, it's like, everybody knows Grandma's here. Now, why? I really believe the love of God is in her. And I know you know her. And I know some of you ladies. And I know the love of God is in you too. So if you're going to be filled with God's presence, be preparation for the next Lord's Day. God is love. And as He is, so are we to be in this world. God wants to fill us up with His love so that we become as He is, love. Okay? You got it? We are to become love to the world in which we live in. And God poured that love into your heart through the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5. And you are filled with that Spirit. We're going to talk about how to be filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of different philosophies and theories out there how to be filled with the Spirit. But brother, it's very simple. It's very basic how that happens. And I'll show you how it happens. And it's up to you whether you let it happen, right? Okay? So I don't want to put this all together in closing because it is Mother's Day. And God bless them. God bless you, Marilyn. In every way, shape, or form. And I just can't tell you how grateful I am. My Bible says the wife is a blessing from God. Isn't that what your Bible says? Also says that children are a blessing from God, right? Amen. So I gave this card to Marilyn this morning, and this is what I said to her. I'm thinking about how lucky I am to be married to you, because you're all that I could ever want in a wife. You're my friend, my confidant, the one who always loves me, the one who supports all my efforts. You mean more to me than words can say. Today I'm also thinking about what a special mother you are and how happy it makes me to know that the wonderful woman I love is also the best mother a child could ever have. I honor you today. And I honor all you ladies today. God has gifted and given to us all the joy of being a mother. And just to end it with a little note of humor, okay? Children are asked this question. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Answers. She has this weird thing about me cleaning my room every day. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it, not me. I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her eye, the back of her head. I remember those eyes. You remember those eyes? It just seems like no matter what. Please come back next Lord's Day. Get the CDs. Listen to this over and over and over again. Read the scriptures. Read those verses over and over again. Because God wants to fill you. And I believe in my heart that I've seen the love of God more than in mothers' lives than anywhere else. I really have. The way she loves her children, the way she loves her husbands, the way she loves, just loves. She's probably the essence of love in so many beautiful ways. So, anyway, what I want to do now, if we can, is have all the mothers stand. All right, if you will, stand up, mothers. And we want to give you a little gift today. If you don't like the color you're getting, too bad. I'm kidding. Why don't you give a... Where's Heather? Okay. Heather's in the little room over here. Make sure she gets one. Okay. If you want to take one home to your wife and she's not able to be here, take one and take it home to your wife. Okay. Thank you, little ones. All right. God bless you. Let's give these mothers. Hold it.
Grandmothers and great grandmothers remain standing. Mothers, please be seated.
Oh, okay. Get two. Diane's over here. Diane over here.
Okay, now, are there any great-grandmothers remain standing?
Great-grandmothers remain standing. Destiny, Jan back there needs one more. So now we have some great grandmothers over here. Okay. Wow, we have two. Let's just give them a hand. God bless you. Praise the Lord for you. We really do. Your gals are your ladies, your moms, your dads. I mean, I don't know how some of you stay so young looking. You're just beautiful people inside. You know that? That's what makes you who you are. And we praise God for you. We really do. I would have taken flowers myself, but then I would have looked like a blooming idiot up here. Taking flowers.